Parsha's Bo, it starts off with the following. It says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Bo El Paro, go to Paro, ki ani echbadeti yizli bo v'yizli v'avadov." Because I've hardened his heart. Very, very strange thing. Go to Paro because I've hardened his heart. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Don't go to Paro because I've hardened his heart. If you've hardened his heart, that means he's not going to let them go. So why go to Paro? That'd be a reason to not go to Paro, to not go anywhere near Paro. But no, Bo El Paro, ki ani echbadeti yizli bo v'yizli v'avadov. I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. Lomain shisios osayela bekirbo, so that I put these signs by him. That I give him these signs, all these makos, the next three makos are going to happen. Okay, it's just strange. The wording of Bo El Paro is also strange. Come to Paro. If you're coming, you're coming in. If you're going, then it's Lech. It should be Lech El Paro. Aside from the Kaniach Badati Yislibo. Now, I don't understand. What changed over here that all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to start a new Parsha, bring a brand new thing in? And we said it more last week on 7 and 3, and what's going on here. But what happened all of a sudden that it's just all Bo El Paro? I've hardened his heart. Now I'm going to put the rest of my osios in him. I mean, this is what's happening throughout all the makos. Every maka has been this way. It's special by these three. What's so special about these three that it's a little bit different? So we said last week, Barad changed everything. The fact that there was snow and hail and everything that was going on, it changed everything. It was the only maka to get Paro to say the words, Hashem HaTzadik. Hashem is right. Hashem is the one that's right. It's the only place that's happened. Vani v'ami ha-Rashayim. That I and all my people are all Rashayim. No other Maka was able to make him say such a thing. Here is the point where if Paro was going to let them go, this would be where he would let them go. This is the point where he would say, okay, it's time to go. So Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking the following. Why go to Paro? Paro should come to me. If he wants them to go, and Paro clearly had said at the end of last week's Parsha, Paro had scared the living crud out of him. He was scared out of his mind. He was sitting there and he was saying, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? So you think to yourself that he'll call me. So he doesn't have to go at all. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're wrong. Don't wait for him. Go to Paro now because ani hichbadeti yislibo. I know you think to yourself that Paro's going to go to you, but I've hardened his heart. No matter what you think he's going to do, he's not going to do it. Even if he himself thinks he's going to let Bnei Yisrael go, it's not going to happen. Can you imagine this? Paro himself is thinking, I'm going to let them go, I'm going to let them go, I'm going to let them go. It's not going to happen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can finish the makas. Why? Because I hardened his heart. Says the Maral Diskin, tell him that. Go to Paro and say whatever you want. In the end, you're not going to let the people go. Can you imagine this? It's like going up to a nation, forget about a nation, it's like going up to a team and saying, we're going to sit down on the court, basketball team, we're going to sit down on the court, we're going to let you shoot as much as you want, and we guarantee you that we're still going to win. And the other team goes and says, this is going to be the easiest thing in the world, and shoots into the wrong basket. Again, and again, and again, and again. It's just the strangest thing in the world. They said to Paro, here's what you're going to do. You're going to mess up. You're going to think that you're going to want to send us out. You're going to think that everything's all good, and it's not. You're going to mess it all up. And Bnei Yisrael is going to leave only after all the makos are all done. Lamant saper ba'ozne binchol binchot asher yisalalti b'Mitzrayim, so you can say over later on that which I made fun of, all those things that I did to Mitzrayim. You know what the pshat is? Says the Maral Diskin, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, is erech hapayim. He's slow to anger. When we sin, he doesn't kill us immediately. He says to us, I'll give you some time. I want you to work on yourself. See if he can do anything. Do you think he can become a little bit better? Think he can do something a little bit better? I'll give you some time. But by Paro, there's a point where if you sin so much, it's a point where you almost can't say no. You can't do anything. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want all the rest of the generations to know this. There is a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away your bechira, takes away your free will, and says, come on. Come on, what do you want me to do? I have to punish you now. I can't do anything else. There is that point. If you hit rock bottom, it could very well be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away your bechira and say, that's it. That's Lamantis Saper Bincha. Sometimes when you go a little bit too far, then Ani Echbadeti Yislibo, I'm going to harden your heart. It's a huge lesson for us. That's a massive lesson for us. But let's go to Bnei Yisrael for a second. Level of Bnei Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim, last day in Mitzrayim, we know, 49th level of Tumah. How many levels of Tumah are there? 50. But no, they weren't just on the 49th level of Tumah. They were so far down on the chart of 49th level of Tumah, negative 49, that had they stayed in Mitzrayim, says the Gemara, had they stayed in Mitzrayim for another minute, one more minute, they would have been in the 50th level of Tumah. That's pretty far down. That's pretty low. You don't get much lower than that. You get to the 50th level of Tuma, there's no way to bring yourself out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to let them go. And had they stayed one more minute, that would have been there. You know what happened when they left? Perk Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Perk Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Zayin says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael mi Ramses Sukkoso. They left Ramses, which was Ramses, one of the cities that would still be considered part of Mitzrayim. They went to Sukkos. Kishesh meos elef ragli agvar and levad mitof. Kishesh, almost 600,000 men, aside from the kids. 600,000 men. You should know, by the way, it wasn't 600,000 people who left Mitzrayim. 600,000 people, aside from the kids, and the wives, and the older people over the age of 60. Altogether, there are about 3.6 million people that left Mitzrayim. 3.6 million, but 3.5 million people. 3.5 million people, that's a lot. All those Jews were the ones that left Mitzrayim. But it says the word kishesh. Says the Medrash, you know why it says kishesh? Because B'nai Yisrael were like malachim. They were like angels. When they left Mitzrayim, they flew 120 mil, give or take, that's about 65 miles, on eagle's wings from Ramses to Sukkos. Why? Because they were in the level of angels. They were in the level of angels. You've never seen people that were on such a level.
When they left, they were?
When they left. Says the Sfas Emes. How is that Shaykh? There are negative 49, and all of a sudden, the level of Malachim, they went from negative 49 to angels? How did they do that? How did that happen? I mean, anyway, it's strange because you say from the first day of Pesach until they came to Shavuos, they went up 49 days. They counted every day they went up a level. But they were negative 49.
They were brought up all the way and then put down to build it.
So you're going from negative 49.
Mitzrayim was the one thing that we didn't deserve it, so therefore I sometimes do all the work.
So still, you're going from negative 49 to what?
Huh?
You're going from negative 49 to 49.
Yeah, yeah.
So did they go two levels a day?
No, they went, Hashem lifted them up like above almost nature, you know, totally like an angel. And then,
I'm watching.
And then they went back down, and they had to work for it.
And they, after the eagle is up, you're saying?
They're back down to zero.
Okay, but Chazal tell us that the 49 days of the Spirit, each day they went up a level.
No.
But how
before,
did that work?
Before that, when they left Mitzrayim, they
were brought up, they shot up to 49.
And then right as they left, they dropped down to zero,
so what
and
afterwards?
Then they climbed up to 49.
Have you ever seen that anywhere? Or was that just, I mean, this is your Kiddush? Oh, it does. It does work out well. So let's try to understand. What happened all of a sudden that brought them up to that 49th level of Kiddusha? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring them back up to that 49th level of Kiddusha? Says the Sfas Emes. B'nai Yisrael and Dafka B'nai Yisrael are affected by their surroundings. Wherever they are, again, think about this. Where Jews live, that's what we look like. When Jews move to Germany, we look Aryan. When Jews move to the Mediterranean area, we look Mediterranean. When we move to other places, we look white. We look white. We look like the people that were around. Kaddish Baruch, it's brought down. Well, it depends, because you know, they stay separate. Either way, it seems strange. There are Jews that are able to adapt better than any other nation in the world. It's a Sfas Emes altogether by itself. But there's also Iran, a Drushas Iran, that says Jews have this ability to look like the people that they live by. We get affected tremendously by our surroundings. When we were in Mitzrayim, until that last second, we were like Mitzrayim, and therefore we were on the negative 49th level of Tuma. The 49th level of Tuma. That level all the way down. As soon as we left and were brought out to the Midbar, as soon as we weren't affected by the land of Mitzrayim anymore, all of a sudden we could shoot up. All of a sudden that's where we could become. We could be on our own. We could be like Malachim. We're able to be like angels. Says Rav Shor, that tells you the amount of power in every Jew. I don't care what the Jew does. I don't care what the Jew has done before. Every Jew has the ability to go up to the 49th level of Kiddusha in a second. In 1 second, to just leave Mitzrayim and boom, you're like Malachim. That's a crazy level. Says the Rav Shor, just like there's an Amunah to believe that a Kaddish Baruch Hu can do anything, you have to have a Amunah that a Jew can do anything. That a Jew has the ability to do absolutely anything whenever he wants. Have a Amunah in the Jew. No matter how disgusting, how terrible, everything that he's done, it makes no difference because in 1 second, within that Jew is a hidden tremendous amount of Kiddusha that you can just bring out at any time. He just has to bring it out. So what we're going to talk about is bringing it out. What happened to B'nai Yisrael at this point that brought out that Kedusha? Just to look at our Jews nowadays, look at Haiti for an example. Just look at what happened to that country. And who was the first nation to go and help them? Jews. Now granted, it was the state of Israel, so there might have been some people that weren't Jewish among them. but a Jewish nation went and helped them first. Who bought over hospitals? I saw a quote from American doctors that said, this is ridiculous. They came from halfway across the world. We came from across across a bay, not even a sea, not even an ocean. And we didn't bring anything. They brought everything. They brought hospitals with them. They chartered planes to be able to bring this over. Immediately. It makes you kind of embarrassed to be an American, he said. Kind of embarrassed to be American. Such a line. What a line. We have Zaka that's sitting there taking care of the remains of the people who had died. Zaka was willing to go in and take care of the remains of people, not just Jews, but non-Jews who had died so that they'd be able to take care of these types of things. It's just within every Jew is a kadosh, is the holiest person that you've ever seen before. Something that you can't even imagine. With such a huge tragedy, with Arabs doing absolutely nothing, we shone. And now, when we go and we bomb certain places in Iran, it won't look as bad. So you don't want to say it so much. But the fact is, we're a different people. Things are just completely different. So I'm listening to a tape in my car. I was cleaning out my brother's car, and I happened to find this tape, Rebbe Orlovsky from Rosh Hashanah. And I listened to it for a little bit, and I got a little bit of it. And I have to tell over this moshul. So let's say, if I was a father, and I think I said this over to some people this earlier this week. Let's say I was a father, and I said over to my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, Devorah, listen, honey, I want you to clean your room. If you clean your room, then we'll go out for pizza, we'll get some ice cream afterward, and I'll go get you a present. If you don't clean your room, I'm going to beat you senseless until you bleed. What would you say about me? What do you say about me? I've got issues. It's not a good parent. It's like the worst parent in the world. Said Rabbi Orlovsky. He's talking about Rosh Hashanah. He said, what happens if you do mitzvos? Gan Eden. What happens if you don't do mitzvos? Gehenim. Is that Kadosh Baruch Hu a messed up father? Is it only those two? That's it? You do well, you'll get Gan Eden. Everything's all good. You don't do well, you'll go to Gehenim. So Rabbi Orlovsky, you're missing something here. You're missing something here. It doesn't mean that somebody can do whatever he wants and says, well, look, you're not just going to send me to Gehenim. You're my dad, right? You're my dad. So you'll let me mess up a couple times. It doesn't mean you're allowed to, but it doesn't mean that we're messing up on how powerful we are. How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do good. How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, because he does. And he only wants what's good for us. We can go from negative 49 to plus 49 in an hour, in a minute. You could do it in almost a second. Just leave and you could be on the level of Malachim. It's not a messed up parent. He doesn't want you to go to Gehenim. He doesn't. He sits there and he says, if I have to, then I'll have to punish you because that's the way people learn. But I don't want to. I just need you to learn that way. It's like taking a kid for a shot. And the kid is sitting there and saying, what are you doing? You're making me, you're killing me. You're sticking that needle inside my skin. How could you do that to me? And we say to him, listen, this is for your best. But he doesn't understand that. The kid doesn't look at it and say, this is for my best. He says, you're giving me a tremendous amount of pain. You're sticking a needle into my arm. What's wrong with you? But we're saying, this is the only way that you're not going to get sick later. But the kid doesn't understand that. Here we go. Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu the following. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel. Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, "Dabro al kol das bnei Yisrael ba'etzer l'chodesh hazeh." And the 10th of this month, v'yichu lahem ish selavei savos selavais. Everybody should take for themselves a sheep. V'yichu lahem. V'yichlan, take for yourselves. That's the pasuk that says over there in pasuk Gimel. In pasuk Tes Zayin, it says the following: when Moshe Rabbeinu talks over to Klal Yisrael, he goes up to Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry, Chaf Aleph. He goes up to Klal Yisrael and he says, "Vayikra Moshe l'chol zikne Yisrael v'yomar aleim." And he says to them, "Mishchu ukachu lachem son. Pull and then take a sheep for every person inside their house." What's with the pulling? What's with the pulling? Says the Medrash Rabbah, "Mishchu" means pull yourselves away from Avodah Zarah and do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here's the line from the Shem Yishmol. Shem Yishmol says, the only way that a person can gain, that a person can grow, and bring himself to a level of 49th level of Kedusha, the only way for a person to be able to do this properly, to do everything properly, is to knock out something bad from himself. You got to stop doing something, and then you can start to grow. You know what Bnei Yisrael didn't know how to do in Mitzrayim? If you look through any sefer that goes through a Hasidic interpretation of what's going on in Mitzrayim, or even a Kabbalic interpretation of what's going on in Mitzrayim, you see they were missing Das. Das is the inability to daven. They weren't able to say things properly. They couldn't speak. They couldn't say the right thing. They sat there and they said to themselves, we don't know how to daven. They would cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh gosh, not again. But they wouldn't say the right words. They wouldn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take us out of Mitzrayim. They wouldn't say those words. Such simple words. God, please free us. Please give us the Gula. And I'm not saying this to be facetious, but is there a single word in our Shemona Esrei regarding Mashiach? I know that we get around it, but Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Tashu, Es Tzemach David Avdecha Meheres Atzmiach, bring over the Tzemach, the sprout of David Mouth. Do we even mention the word Mashiach? Do we even mention the word Beis HaMikdash? We only mention the Yilu Artsoni Marisi V'Gilmi Bila Fanecha. At the very end, Yerushalayim Fanecha Shem Elokim 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 Bana Beis HaMikdash. At the very end. Yeah, Yavo, we mention it. But in our regular Shemona Esrei, now one word doesn't say the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't say Mashiach. We're davening totally the opposite. Something's different. People have to know how to daven. You have to know what you're saying. You have to know what to add on yourself. You have to say things correctly. B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim lost their koach ha-dibur. They had no ability to speak correctly. They couldn't express their ideas. They couldn't express their desires. Anything that they wanted to articulate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they got confused. Why? Because they had Avodah Zarah with them. So every time they wanted to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, how do the Mitzrayim speak to their Avodah Zarah? Oh, they say it this way. So they would express what they wanted to say to God the same way that the Mitzrayim said it to their Avodah Zarah. They couldn't say it the right way because they got mixed up between their Avodah Zarah and our God. And they couldn't do it. Their dibur was completely messed up. So the first thing they have to do is pull back from Avodah Zarah. Take out the Avodah Zarah from you. You can't do anything until that starts. That's why they chose the sheep. Because the sheep was their Avodah Zarah. Take this sheep. Pull yourself back. Say to yourself, this is not an idol. This is not God. Take yourself out of it. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's decision. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, just take. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, but they're not going to be able to do that on their own. That won't bring them to Kedusha. You know what you got to do? You got to stop yourself from doing something. Pull yourself out, said Moshe Rabbeinu. Take away that Avodah Zarah, and then Kichu Lechem. Then you'll be able to take for yourself whatever you need. Then you'll start to get your dibur back. Then you'll realize, oh, it's God. Oh, this is how you should daven. This is what I'm supposed to do. Because you took away the Avodah Zarah. That's why the whole story, the everything, it's called the Haggadah. Why is it called Haggadah? Because you're supposed to say it over. Pesach, says the Shem Yishmol. It's the mouth that talks. Peh as in mouth, sach as in to speak. To be able to say something out, because the whole Chag is about us not being able to daven. Pesach is about us being able to daven now. What's the first thing they did when Yitzias Mitzrayim happened? When Kriyas Yamsuf happened? They sang Shira. Oz Yashir Moshe Oven Yisrael. That's when they could sing. Until that point, they had no ability. They didn't really know how to daven. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you got to prepare yourself for that. You can't just jump into it, just start doing mitzvahs. You got to pull yourself back, stop yourself from doing something, and then add on a mitzvah. Stop yourself from doing a certain avera, and then add on something different, and then you'll be able to articulate yourself correctly. Then you'll be able to daven correctly. Then you'll be able to sing a shira like Oz Yashir. Then you'll be able to say whatever you want. That brought them to a high level. That brought them to a very high level. Here's the lesson. You want to get yourself close to God. And everybody always says this. I want to do something. I want to bring myself. You know, there's just, I want to have that connection. I want to feel the connection between me and God. You got to stop something in order to do that. In order to connect, you got to break the disconnection. You got to take away that disconnection. That old wire that's connecting you to the wall that your phone is connected to. Sometimes you just got to tear that thing out and make a brand new one. If there's a problem, if you're not keeping something correctly, then it's somewhat obvious that there's no way you're going to be able to keep doing mitzvos while you're still doing that bad thing. You got to stop yourself from something. Mishchu, pull yourself out from there, and then you can take whatever you want. Then you can go to the 49th level of Kedusha. That means you take yourself out of Tuma, you're automatically like Malach. That's how you pull yourself back. Chafetz Chaim says the following. Here's one thing that you can do. It's obvious, but it's a great muscle. This will help a lot. Chofetz Chaim says, why do we wear tefillin? Why do we wear tefillin? So, phylacteries. You heard about the whole story within Philadelphia today, that they landed in Philadelphia because the guy was going from New York to somewhere in the middle of nowhere, do we know? Louisville. He was going to Louisville, and he put on his tefillin, And stewardess didn't know. Stewardess thought it was a terrorist. They landed the plane in Philadelphia, and they ran on the plane. They said, it's tefillin. They realized it's tefillin. Why do we wear tefillin? Why do Jews wear tefillin? Phylacteries. What's the point of us doing that? So I would ask you that question. You could give me a myriad of answers. I mean, there are tons of answers. People would say to you, oh, to bring Kiddusha onto you, right, because the tefillin takes the Kiddusha from Shemayim, brings it down into tefillin shel Rosh. The straps are conduits to be able to spread Kiddusha throughout your whole body. Your right hand does mitzvos all day long. You always do mitzvos with your right hand. Your left hand, which is so weak, it doesn't do mitzvos. It needs an extra bit of Kiddusha. So you wrap the straps around there, so you add on Kiddusha to that. You get Kiddusha throughout your entire body. That's a great answer. Why? Because God told me to do it. That's a great answer. All these things are good answers. Whenever the Torah says the word lema'an, for the sake of, because of, ... whenever the Torah says that word, it means here's the reason as to why you're doing something. Here's the pasuk. Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Tes. The pasuk says the following. V'hayulach ala osal yadcha. It will be a sign on your hands. U'lezikaron b'ninach, and a remembrance between your eyes. Lema'an, why? Because, listen to this. Tiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha. That the Torah of God will be in your mouth. Help me, guys. What in the world does tefillin have to do with Torah in your mouth? What does tefillin have to do with that at all? In a million years, I wouldn't have guessed that. The tefillin has to do with me speaking out words of Torah? Says the Chofetz Chaim. Everything has to do with Torah. I don't care what it is. You think tefillin is a mitzvah on its own? No. Tefillin is just another thing you have to do in order to get yourself to learn Torah correctly. But the ikar is always Torah. The main point that a person always has to do is to be able to learn Torah. There's nothing else to talk about. Says the Yerushalmi in Chagiga. Yerushalmi in Chagiga says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater. That means he doesn't care if a person is over on Avodah Zarah, on Gilui Arayos, Shlichus Damim. If he's over on any of those affairs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, I'll forgive that person. It's not that big of a deal. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mevater on Bittul Torah. If a person is mevatel Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't forgive that. Says the Chofetz Chaim. Why? You killed a person. And God says, all right, it's all right. The guy spent 2 minutes talking with his chavrusa instead of learning. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't forgive that. Forget about that. I can't do that. Says the Chofetz Chaim, a mashal, and it's a beautiful mashal. You have to understand it. What I just said is not exactly correct according to the mashal. But listen to what he says. He says, when a person is fighting in a war, he's fighting a battle, as long as he still has his weapons in his hands, even if the other guy is smacking him around, taking his sword, the other guy is smacking him, throwing him into a corner, hitting him this way, hitting him that way, keep on hitting him, throwing him down. He might fall to the ground a couple times. As long as you keep your weapon, you still have a chance. There's still a chance. Because you got a weapon in your hand, and all it takes is one hit, all of a sudden your enemy's gone. You just got to keep your weapon. Gilui Arayos, Shfichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, they are considered the enemy going up against you and making you back away. It's a sin that brings you further and further and further from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You worship Avodah Zarah, God says, move back a little bit. You kill somebody, move back a little bit. Gilui Arayos, move back a little bit. Move back, keep moving back, keep moving back, keep moving back. But you still got your sword. What's your sword? Learning Torah. As long as you can still learn, eventually you might be able to fight everybody off. You might be able to bring yourself back. Stop yourself from Gilui Arayos. Stop yourself from Shlichus Damim. Stop yourself from Avodah Zarah. Bring yourself closer and closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you lose that sword, if the sword's gone, then forget it. You're out. You're out. If you stop learning and you're mevatel your Torah, you say, forget about this. I'm not going to learn anymore. Then you can forget about everything. Because the sword's gone. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't deal with that person. That person's dead. He just lost the war. Not only the battle, the war. He's done for. Because the enemy who's standing there with his sword, there's no way he's not going to win. What are you going to do? What, are you going to take his sword away? Nobody's strong enough to do that, especially if the other guy's stronger than you and keeps knocking you into a corner. You're dead. So you need your sword. It may be a really tiny little, you know, it could be a little plastic sword. You're holding up with like a, you know, like, it might not be like a lightsaber, but it'll be something. At least you got the plastic little knife that couldn't cut butter. At least you got that. But you got to have something. There's got to be something. You have to learn a little bit, says the Chofetz Chaim. But if you lose that, forget it. The whole thing's gone. You're dead. You're dead. You might as well not be here, because how in the world are you supposed to be able to survive? There's nothing to be able to do. Unless you're Bruce Lee. Unless you're Bruce Lee. If you're Bruce Lee, then things might be different. But that totally depends on which movie, and depends on what year. It completely depends. Chavetz Chaim is a beautiful mashal. He doesn't mention the Bruce Lee part. But the Chavetz Chaim is an unbelievable mashal. But it explains what we have to do. Everything is Talei and Torah. I got a little medrash for you. I'm not going to go through all of Arba. There's a crazy amount of medrashim in Arba. How their teeth were an amma long, how they were killing people as they were going through, spitting in their eyes so that they would blind them. Arba was awesome. Arba was absolutely awesome. There were poisonous snakes in the ground. There were still things. And while these locusts were eating everything, there were poisonous snakes going around biting the Mitzrayim. You got to love everything about the Makos. Got to love everything. But there's a line over here, and it's something, it's strange. Nobody catches it. I found it this year for the first time. I looked back in Sfarim, in all these different Sfarim last night. I started looking back and said, you know, like, is this anywhere? Nobody asks this. I've only seen it in two different places. It happened to be two Sfarim I did this year. Ruchaim Knievsky asked it, and the Maral Diskin asked it. And I haven't seen it anywhere else. It's an obvious question. I just haven't seen it. Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Parakut Pasuk Yud Beis, by Yomar Shama Moshe, Nite Yodcha Al Eretz Mitzrayim, stretch out your hand over Egypt, Ba'ar Beh, with the locusts. Stretch out your hand over Egypt with the locusts. And then in the next pasuk it says, Vayet Moshe Es Matehu Al Eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his staff over Eretz Mitzrayim. God told him to use his hand. So why is he using the mateh? He should have just gone like that. So what's with the matzah? So the Orachaim answers. The Orachaim is about something else. But Orachaim Knievsky answers it using the Orachaim. The Orachaim says, "What does it mean, ba'ar beh?" So the Orachaim says to take a locust and to point it out there, so that the locusts would be able to see it and they would follow the locust. That was what he was supposed to do. Ba'ar beh, stretch out your hand with an arbeh. Says the Reb Chaim Knievsky, perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to touch a tummy creature, a sheretz, so he didn't want to touch it directly. So instead, he put it on the staff. He had it on the staff, and he lifted up the staff, and he pointed that instead so he wouldn't be able to touch it. So maybe that's the reason why. So he put it on the staff instead of touching it himself. That's what Reb Chaim Knievsky's answer. I find that a little bit hard, and in fact, I'm sorry? It's still a little bit different. The Ibn Ezra also says straight out, the Ibn Ezra wrote his sefer about 500 years before the Or HaChaim, but he says, for those who say that it refers to putting an arba on the staff, this is the Ibn Ezra, for those who say that, it can't be, because there's no reason, the pasuk isn't referring to that. Bo arba means bishvila arba, it doesn't mean with an arba. He goes through and he knocks off the pshat. So either way, but that's Reb Chaim Knievsky's answer. The Maral Diskin says an unbelievable answer. You know, there's a machlokas what was on this staff. It's a machlokas that you see in the Agada every year. You ever notice you go through the whole staff, it goes through, it says, Reb Yuda Yanosim Bam Simonin, Titzach, Adash, Biachav. You ever wonder, like, what he's doing? You look at that and you say, like, Titzach, Adash, Biachav. Tremendous. What in the world, do we need to know the Rosh HaTevis for? Like, somebody got together and was like, I got the greatest runners for you. Rosh HaTevis. Got it. You want to hear great? Titzach. What is that? Dom Sardayan Keenum. Genius! Brilliant! I've never heard such a thing before. Unbelievable. To the point where I have uncles that make fun of it. They say the first ones are Biffle, for blood, frogs, and lice. So Biffle. And they do it in English. They do the regular things in English. They make fun of it. What does it mean? What are we referring to? And then the Rabbanan come along. Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arov, Dever, Revuta, Titzach, Adash, Biachah. Much better. You know what the argument is? It's Machlokas in the Medrash. What was written on the Mateh? What was on the staff? According to the Chachamim, on the staff was written Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Aro, way before. You know when this matah was from? This matah was taken by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the sword and the stone by Yisro. Yisro had it stuck in the ground. That's the time when he put it on silent. It was stuck in the ground. Yisro was not able to pull it out. Moshe Rabbeinu came along and pulled it out of the ground. Where did Yisro get it from? He got it from the treasuries of Mitzrayim. Who put it in the treasuries of Mitzrayim? Yosef HaTzadik took it away from Yehuda when Yehuda came down to Mitzrayim because Yosef was the king. He took it away and put it in the treasuries. He eventually meant it to go to his kids, but Yisro took it out when he left Mitzrayim. Where did Yehuda get it from? Yehuda got it from Yaakov. Yaakov got it from Yitzchak. Yitzchak got it from Avram. Avram got it from Shem. Shem got it from Noach. Noach got it from Metushelah. Metushelah got it from Chanoch. Chanoch got it from Adam Rishon. This staff has been around for 2,448 years. And all the time it's had these words on it. Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arov, Dever. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not what was on the staff. On the staff was Bitzach, Adash, Biachav. But according to all Shita, says the Maral Diskin, according to every Shita, as soon as the Makkah happens, the name of that makkah came out from that staff. They would look at the staff, they'd have the staff up there, and if it was the time for dam, all of a sudden on the makkah, on the matzah, there would appear the word dam. It was time for tzvadeya, on the matzah, it would appear the word tzvadeya. When it came for arbe, came the word arbe. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the word arbe wasn't there. It wasn't there. It appeared on the staff. On the staff, it said the word arbe. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu knew what was going to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told him what arbe was. But on the staff itself, it said the word arbe. Aleph, Reish, Beis, Hey. So when it says, Nete Yodchal, Eretz Mitzrayim, Bo Arbe, stretch out your hand on Eretz Mitzrayim with the arbe, it means with the word arbe that's on the staff. Show it to Mitzrayim so that Mitzrayim shouldn't say, oh, it's the wind. The wind brought the locusts here. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the wind. No! Show them. You know what's coming right now? It's Arba. Show them the staff. On that staff says the word Arba. Says Meryl Diskin, that's what he's showing them. Why such a remez? Maybe it's Dafka for this reason. Everything we've been saying up until now. A Jew on the inside is unbelievably holy. Even if the word isn't there, when it's time for it to come out, it comes out. If it's time for Arba to show itself, it'll show itself on the staff, even though you can't see it. The words Arba aren't there. Aleph is there, the Achav, the Aleph is there, but there's no Resh, no Beis, no Hey. Where'd it come from? It was on the inside of the staff. Because a Jew has it on the inside, and when he wants to pull it out, when he does pull it out, the Kedusha just shines. Shines. And the Arba shows itself. That word Arba shows itself, and it's all good. That's the Koach. One last thing. We said he got to remove something. So a man first came, this is in the spirit of the Kalev Rebbe over the past week, a man came to the stipler. A man came to the stipler. And when he came into the stipler, he's from London, he walked in, the stipler shook his hand, and he heard his name. And he said to him, do you have a brother who lives here in Bnei Brak? So the man in London said, yeah, I do. So he said, tell him to come as soon as he can to my office. I want to speak to him right away. So the man knew that his brother didn't have a working relationship with the stipler. The stipler, he'd spoken to the stipler before for a bracha, but he didn't have a real relationship with him. He called up his brother and he said, you know, you should know the stipler wants to speak to you. The stipler wants to speak to you. So the man went straight to the stipler, and he said to him, Rebbe, what does Rebbe want? What's going on? So the man was told by the stipler, last night I had a dream. In this dream, I saw a man. But first, answer me a question. Did you used to learn in a certain base medrash on Fridays when you came home from yeshiva right before Shabbos started? So the guy said, yes. I used to learn in that base medrash. I used to be there. I used to go learn in that base medrash. He said, on Friday, was there a janitor that used to come in and make you move around so that he could mop up the floors? He said, yeah, there was a guy who used to come in every Friday while I was learning, and he told me just move over here, move over there, whatever it was. He made me move around. Stipler said, that man came to me in a dream. And he said to me, you have no idea how many punishments I'm getting in Gehenna right now for being mevatel that bacher from Torah on Fridays before Shabbos. Please, he said to the stipler going in this dream, talk to that man and ask him to come to my grave and say that he forgives me for the bittul Torah that I caused. Then afterward, I'll be able to have some rest. So the man said to the stipler, not a problem. I'll go to him right now. The stipler goes and sends the man. The man goes to the person's kever, says that I'm sorry for the, don't worry about the bittul Torah. I'm mokel for all the bittul Torah that you might have caused me on a Friday. It's not that big of a deal. And that was the end of it. That was the end of it. What does that show you? It shows you the power of learning Torah. But here's the thing. This is what I wanted from it. It's not just the power of learning Torah. Not being mevatel Torah. You see a person learning, don't stop him. Don't go up to him to ask a random question. That's something that we can do. A small little thing. Take us away from something so that we can mishku, pull our hands back, that we can start doing something better. To be mishku and then kichu. To then go ahead and do something better. If I see somebody learning, cannot be mevato him. And if I'm not mevato him, he gets to learn. I'll learn something from it. Now I can move up another level. Because you don't want that story to be about you. this type of story is a crazy story. You should just know there was a person that I wish I was on the level of that person in Bnei Brak, but there was a person that used to do that to me on a Friday. He used to make me move around from one table to the other when I was learning on a Friday in a Beis Medrash, and they were mopping up the floors for Shabbos. It's a person who went around. I'm Mokulim completely. Belayed Shalom, and now it's on tape. It's a Belayed Shalom. 100% I'm Mokulim without a question. But the fact is, maybe. Yes, I'm Mokli, of course. Regardless, it's the time for a person. Maybe try not to be a Mavato person from Torah. Try not to be a Mavato person from Tefillah. If a person's davening, if a person's learning, just for what you see that he's learning, you see that he's davening, don't do anything. Pull your hand back. Just say, I'm not going to do anything. And then you'll be able to grow. Then you'll be able to get up there. Then you'll find that pencil layid, that little guy inside you that really wants to bring himself out, that really wants to learn. That the ability to be able to do the greatest things. But first, you got to take away something. That's our lesson for today. That's the idea behind Parshas Bo and what was said over to Paro. That Paro, that was the achbadas liv because he went too far. But by a Jew, it's always there. Should be all good. Have a good Shabbos.